Well, just looking back over the course of this past week, as far as the economics are concerned around the world, it's still a story of central banks trying to catch up. With the inflation. Hello?
Hello?
Are we ready to go?
And it sounds like someone just needs to go on mute again. Just getting an echo on the line. Try again, sir.
I'll try again. Yeah, just over the past week, it's just the signs from various economies that there's still a fair bit of residual strength. Central banks have been behind the curve, starting to raise interest rates. So over this past week, we've had a couple of 75 basis point rate hikes from two central banks, Bank of Canada, which lifted their cash rate by 75 basis points to 3.25%. And the real surprise was the ECB, the European Central Bank, lifted by 75 basis points. So over two meetings, they've taken their deposit rate from minus 0.5% to plus 0.75%, and with the promise of more to come through there. Much of the data that we're seeing coming through the various economies too is sort of holding up. So there wasn't a lot of data out of the US last week, but what there was relatively strong. We had the ISM, Non-Manufacturing Purchasing Managers Index, for the month of August. It was at 56.7, which is well and truly in relatively strong expansionary territory. Was expected to come back a bit to 55.5. It's holding up there, 56.9. Very strong reading for the month of August. The initial jobless claims, the weekly initial jobless claims, they're well down in those 200,000s, and they suggest that the labour market in the US is holding very, very strong as well. And over time, it's the labour market, which is going to be particularly important as far as the US is concerned, because it's the one economy where already you've got wages which are rising to support inflation well above the Fed's targets, not just for the next year or two, but for the foreseeable future. And so that's where the pressure point comes back to the Fed. Fed doesn't meet this week, but they're going to get some pretty important information through the course of this week. And paradoxically, if anything, it's just going to take a little bit of the pressure off them, probably. We've got the August CPI coming out, August producer prices coming out on Tuesday and Wednesday, respectively, this week. And because we've had a dip running through petrol prices in particular over the last month or so, that's going to give them a little bit of relief inside the CPI from goods prices, but services prices will still be thundering along. And the other story which is occurring all the way around the world is that households are moving towards spending more on services rather than goods, keeping that part of the inflation story running, whereas the goods price part, if anything, is over the top, starting to come back as supply chain problems start to be resolved, and we've had this fall running through petrol prices. So the consensus forecast for the August CPI in the United States is that it will fall 0.1% month on month. If that's where it comes in, that will bring the annual inflation rate down to 8.1% from 8.5%. The core CPI, because obviously this takes out food and energy prices, is still rising. So that's expected to be up 0.3%. That would actually lift the annual rate of core inflation to 6.1% from 5.9%. Producer prices out on Wednesday. Again, we get that fall in petrol prices over the month of August in the United States. So they're expecting that the August producer price index will be down by 0.1% as well. That would reduce the producer price index to 8.9% from 9.8% year on year. And the core producer price index is expected to be up 0.3%. That would reduce to 7.1%, the annual rate from 7.6%. If this is where those inflation readings come in, there might be a bit of optimism running through US financial markets. It started there towards the end of last week, and it might continue through until we start to get towards the Fed meeting. And the Fed meeting has to deliver another 75 basis points. Whilst that is in the market, not for this week, but the week after, you know, the reality of it, and the reality that the Fed still has some way to go to lift interest rates, yeah, that might start to temper the enthusiasm in markets as we get towards that period. But yeah, this week, yeah, unless there's a horrible surprise in the CPI, you know, if anything, it might be sort of supportive of the rallies we've had in markets this week. I don't expect those rallies in markets to be a longer term affair. I treat them all as bear market rallies at this stage, because the markets are still running way, way too far ahead of when the Fed is going to reach peak rates and start to come down, when those rates are going to start to come down. And when those rates start to come down, they come down for a reason. That's because the economy is suffering a hard landing. And so, you know, some of the worst of the normal bearish reaction we get in cycles is still well ahead of us. So these are bear market rallies at the moment. When we get these sorts of movements we're getting through markets, they don't persist. Just looking at some of the other data coming out later in the week, we've got some of the September readings for partial manufacturing purchasing managers indexes. These are in places like New York State and the Philadelphia Fed survey. The Empire State survey, the New York State survey, comes out on Thursday. That was at minus 31.3. is expected to come back to minus 13.9, still pretty negative reading. It's a bit better down in the from the Philadelphia Fed survey, a bit further down the coast. So looking at that coming in at plus 3.5 from plus 6.2. We also get some retail sales data later in the week out of the United States, and that's expected to come in, you know, reasonably firm, so up 0.2%. Both retail sales and core retail sales. The emphasis, you know, retail sales is largely about goods sales, so these numbers are, you know, are not that strong now, because consumers are changing their spots everywhere around the world, moving away from spending on goods and towards spending on services. So service spending in the United States is still very, very strong. Moving to China. And last week out of China, we had the cakes in August services PMI. It's reasonably firm, and that's surprising in some ways, because we know that spending is coming back in China at this point. It's 55.0 from 55.5. That's still pretty firm reading. We did have quite a surge in demand for China's exports going back to the month of July. If anything, that's faded a bit in August. So in August, the exports were up 7.1% year on year. That was back from 18% going back the month before. And for August, it was well below market expectations. Imports too. They were pretty soft going back to July, only up 2.3% year-on-year. They were below market expectation, only up 0.3% year-on-year. You know, that's a sign that, you know, the Chinese economy really is quite soft. And we saw it reinforced in their CPI and PPI numbers for the month of August, doing something which is rather different from what's happening in many other countries overseas. Yeah, they're at low levels and coming back. So the CPI in China was only 2.7% year-on-year going back to July. It's down to 2.5% in August. And the producer price index, which was at 4.2% in July, is back to 2.3%. But these are all markers of an economy which at this stage is still struggling. And we expect to see that in the data that comes out of China this week. There's a lot of it coming out on Friday. You get things like house prices. House prices in China across the board, something you almost never see. You know, they're down in negative territory year on year. They were down 0.9% year on year going back to July. They're probably going to be down over 1% year on year for the month of August. We get fixed asset investment spending. You know, this is, you know, they're trying to prime this through the various local authorities in China, but it's still sort of pretty soft. Market thinks it'll be up 5.6% year on year in August. That's down a touch from 5.7% going back to July. Industrial production, which was actually quite soft in July, only up 3.8% year on year. That's expected to be up maybe 4% year on year, so slight improvement there. And they're hoping to see some improvement in retail sales, but yeah, I think there might be a forlorn hope because they continue to lock down various parts to deal with Omicron outbreaks. So going back to July, it was up 2.7% year-on-year. That's expected to lift to 4%, but as I say, I think that's an optimistic assessment by the market. The Chinese economy for the time being is still pretty soft. Then moving to Australia, and in some ways, we've got a problem here of problematic strength. What I mean by that is the poor old Reserve Bank was caught so wrong-footed as inflation picked up here. It's been struggling to catch up with interest rate rises to what's developing on the inflation front here. In normal circumstances, you'd love to see an economy going as strongly as the numbers suggest over the course of the past week. So in amongst those, we had Q2 GDP. It was a very, very strong reading. It was up 0.9% quarter on quarter, up 3.6% year on year in real terms, and that was from 3.3%. But that belies the strength running through prices and sales in the Australian economy. In current price terms, GDP was up 4.3% quarter on quarter, 12.1% year on year. That's just massive. And it reflected in some of the other bits and pieces we see in GDP. So, for example, the GDP measure of company profits is up 7% quarter on quarter, 28% year on year. That's absolutely flying. And the other part which was surprising was compensation of employees. That was up 2.4% quarter on quarter, 7% year on year. Now, that's light years away from the wage price index, but compensation of employees in GDP, for a start, it takes in a way larger survey base than the wage price index. But it also, of course, allows for the growth in employment as well. So there's been some employment growth in that. But what it suggests is that, in total, employees are not only being paid very, very well now, they're being paid at a rate which is even faster than the inflation rate on an annual basis. So that's another pressure point as far as the Reserve Bank's concerned as we mark ahead. So this data that we got occurred just after the RBA meeting. The RBA lifted by 50 basis points to 2.35%, but it does look as if they got a fair bit more to do with the type of economic information that we're getting at present. Another number which came out very early in the week too was the AN job advertisement survey. This is still lifting. It lifted another 2% over the last month. And this is against, and this is what we're going to see this week, you're going to see the labour force data. And, at present, we've got fewer people unemployed than the total number of job vacancies. This is still a very, very tight labour market, and we'll see this week on Thursday we get the latest labour force reading. And at this stage, the market consensus is that employment will lift 50,000. The participation rate, which dipped last month to 66.4, probably comes back up to 66.7. The unemployment rate was probably going to hold down at that 48-year low at 3.4%. Ahead of that, we'll get NAB business conditions, business confidence survey coming out. The business survey going back to July was strong. Business conditions were at plus 20. Business confidence was plus 7. These are pretty strong readings, notwithstanding the interest rate rises we've had. And we'll get the one weak reading is likely to be September Westpac consumer sentiment. Consumers at this stage in Australia are saying, oh, gee, things are bad, you know, because they're looking at what's happening with interest rate rises. And Westpac consumer sentiment's been falling month in, month out now for a while, and it's soft. But their actual spending by households in Australia has actually been phenomenally strong. We had confirmation last week with the final July retail trade data, and that was up 1.3%, 16.5% year on year. And it's predominantly things like department stores actually had a very, very big lift in the most recent in the recent month, reading by 3.8%. We also had a July household spending survey came out. This only gives us year-on-year numbers, but household spending in July was up 18.4% year-on-year. And in terms of where people are spending, they're spending on services. They're changing towards services, and service spending's up 28.4% year-on-year, as opposed to spending on goods at 9.5% year-on-year. Also, they're still spending more on discretionary than non-discretionary. Spending on discretionary items was up 19.8%. You know, what these figures show is that as of July, beginning of Q3, this economy was strong as an ox coming through from domestic spending, and the RBA really hasn't touched the sides in terms of denting this in. It needs to dent it if it's going to get on top of inflation. Particularly this new surge in services sector in spending, which, you know, services sector is much more intensive in employing people. It tends to pay higher in order to get those people in. It will be underpinning higher inflation over time. This is the issue we're facing at the moment, that the RBA, like most other central banks, is still well and truly behind this inflation curve. And for the time being, the market gets optimistic, you know, we're going to see a top in this soon, but it's inevitably going to be disappointed at some point in the not too distant future. Very briefly, in Europe, I mentioned the ECB decision. They lifted 75 basis points. They had revised Q2 GDP. It was revised stronger, so it was up 0.8%, 4.1% year-on-year. We had July retail sales, which was strong in Europe, up 0.3%. They've had the issue with Nord Stream 1 being cut off now for longer, but it's been mixed news as far as Europe's concerned on that front, because whilst the Russians are playing a tough game with the gas pipeline, there was clear evidence this week came through that the Russian forces on the ground now are finding it very, very difficult in Ukraine, and the counter-offensive by Ukraine has pushed into several key cities. Now, what that actually means over time is anybody's guess, but it is a sign that things are not going Russia's way at the moment. Does that make them more dangerous or less? Are they more likely to? We don't know, but for the time being, it's sort of good news. This week in Europe, we have industrial production coming out. We had the trade balance. We'll also have another central bank coming through this week with the Bank of England. They were at 50 basis points going back to their last meeting. The base rate's at 1.75%. It's highly likely they'll have to deliver a 75 basis points. They won't be influenced at all by, obviously, you know, the big news over the last week, the change in monarch and the funeral of the Queen. That won't make any difference to what the Bank of England has to do. Inflation in Britain is just roaring at the moment, and they've got most sectors of the economy on strike as well for very, very high pay increases. So another one of these central banks which is going to come through with a large rate increase. But the big focus as far as economics is concerned this week is the CPI out of the US, and that looks sort of benign for the time being, but it'll probably be replaced by fear running into the Fed next week.